This morning we continue in our series in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 through 15 in our study. But let's begin reading in verse 1 as it's printed for us in our bulletin. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, who lavishes us with your love, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Grant us your Spirit now as we look into your holy word, that we might grow in the enjoyment of that freedom which is ours by grace through faith in your dear Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. In a free society, freedom means being able to do certain things. It means being free to speak your mind without fear of retribution. It means being able to work and enjoy the fruit of your labors. It means being able to worship according to the dictates of your own conscience. And the same principle applies in the spiritual realm. Freedom in Christ means being free to do certain things. Christians in the first century were learning what their newfound freedom in Christ set them free to do. They were learning, for example, that unlike the Old Testament saints, they were free to eat pork if they wanted to. Church barbecues could become a thing, and indeed they did become a thing. They were learning, especially through St. Paul's teaching, that they were free to be circumcised or uncircumcised. Neither made a difference when it came to being justified before God. But most of all, As Paul emphasizes in the passage before us this morning, they were learning that they were free in Christ in order to love. Free in Christ in order to love. Christ had set them free to do the greatest thing of all, to love. Freedom in Christ is freedom to love. That's what Paul was teaching the Galatians, and that's our focus this morning. So let's consider those two points this morning. First, freedom in Christ, and second, freedom to love. First, freedom in Christ. As we've seen, that is the theme of Galatians, and Paul communicates it here in a fresh and even startling way. For Paul, freedom in Christ means freedom from works of the law as a means of salvation. Freedom from human effort, works of the law, dependence upon self and what one knows and does and says in order to earn God's favor. Freedom from that. Freedom in Christ means that through faith in Christ, all our sins are forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus. We have no more sins to pay for, no more righteousness to earn. We are righteous in God's sight now and for eternity through faith in Jesus. Because through faith in Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, God's Son, with whom He is well pleased, is covering us now and forever. And freedom in Christ means that God the Father accepts us as His child and adopts us into His family forever. The scripture passage that was mentioned at the top of our hymn of preparation under the title of the hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, was from 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is freedom. The lavish love of the Father to us in Christ. It means you don't have to earn His love. It means you cannot lose His love. It's yours irrevocably. And freedom in Christ means that the Holy Spirit assures us of the irrevocable love of the Father and the unfailing grace of His Son so that we can live with confidence moment by moment and day by day. In verse 5, Paul said, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. I believe what Paul was talking about here is the fact that one day, when Christ comes again in glory, He will declare for all to hear what believers have been declaring now for 2,000 years. Namely, that believers in Jesus are righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus alone. And thus, we eagerly look forward to that day when Christ will declare for everyone to hear that believers in Jesus are righteous in Him. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, at the resurrection, that is, at the resurrection of the dead, when Christ comes again, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. That's what we have to look forward to when Christ returns. And I believe that it is that acquittal that Paul is talking about here. When on the day of judgment, believers will be openly and unquestionably declared righteous in Christ and thus be acquitted of the charge of remaining in their sins and acquitted of the accusation that we are foolish for trusting in the righteousness of another, namely Jesus, our Lord. Paul says, as Christians, we are free because we know now that we are righteous in God's sight, and because we know that a day is coming when Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, will openly and indisputably declare for all to hear and acknowledge that we are in fact righteous in his sight through faith in him alone. Moreover, as previously, Paul demonstrates that this freedom is worth fighting for and protecting. As we saw last week, Paul said in verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And Paul went on to demonstrate what standing firm in that freedom looks like. It looks like not giving an inch to any pressure from anyone to add anything to the finished work of Christ. It means not adding anything to the finished work of Christ as the basis of salvation. As he said in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, once you say that human effort of whatever sort plays any role whatsoever in your being accepted by God, then you have lost the gospel of grace, and thus you have lost your freedom in Christ, the experience, the enjoyment of your freedom in Christ. Paul viewed the Judaizers and their teaching as representative of that leaven. By teaching that salvation was based not on Christ alone, but on Christ plus works of the Old Testament law, they were hindering the Galatians from enjoying their freedom in Christ. The Galatians had been running freely in Christ. Just picture a runner running around the track just as free as they can be, just enjoying the gift of running with freedom and with grace. And then somebody starts coming alongside them and starts putting a backpack on them. And then they start taking heavy stones and filling that backpack up more and more and more and slowing that runner down until the runner can barely even walk or crawl. That's what the Judaizers were doing to the Galatians. They were weighing them down with the idea of works righteousness, that they had to earn God's favor. Paul says, they are misleading you. They are crippling you. They are hindering you from enjoying your freedom in Christ. And thus, Paul had a few choice words for the Judaizers here in our passage. He said in verse 8 that their persuasion, that is their attempts to persuade the Galatians to trust in their own works, to feel more secure in God's love, that that was not from God. So hear that afresh this morning. The notion that you need to do more in order to feel more secure or be more secure in God's love, that is not from God. That is not from Jesus. Paul said to the Galatians that it was ultimately from the enemy of our souls, the evil one, who wants to keep us far from God and the enjoyment of God's love and fellowship. So Paul basically said that the teaching of works righteousness salvation is not from our Father in heaven, but from our foe in hell. That's where it's from. Not from our Father in heaven, but from our foe in hell. Moreover, Paul said in verse 10 that if they didn't repent, such false teachers would be punished. They would bear a penalty. God takes seriously the souls of His image bearers. Thus, He does not wink at those who lead them astray, distorting the truth about His Son and misinforming sinners about the way of salvation. And Paul reflected that seriousness in verse 12 when he said, quite shockingly, I wish that those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Strong words from the man who just said that all that matters is faith working through love. Is that loving of Paul? To speak that way? Did Paul really want the Judaizers to emasculate themselves? I don't think so. I think he was trying to get the Galatians to see the absurdity of the Judaizers' teaching. I think Paul was saying, if the Judaizers think that circumcision will earn them points with God, then why don't they just go all the way and totally emasculate themselves? If circumcision is good, then wouldn't emasculation be even better? Paul was surely hoping that this shocking language would help the Galatians see the foolishness of what the Judaizers were teaching. Paul was adamant. Do not welcome their teaching. Do not be burdened by the weights of their legalism. Stand firm in your freedom. Fight for it. Protect it. Enjoy it. So that's the first point this morning, freedom in Christ. And in the second place this morning, in this passage, Paul introduces the greatest activity, the greatest privilege that this freedom in Christ secures for the believer, namely the freedom to love. The freedom to love. That's how we ultimately exercise our freedom. It's through love. As Paul said in verse 6, in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And then in verses 13 through 15, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So we should first note what freedom in Christ does not set us free to do. What freedom in Christ does not set us free to do. It does not set us free to use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, or as Paul put it down in verse 16, as an opportunity to gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, he goes on to tell us down in verse 19 where he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division in our series, God willing. But for now, just know that that is the kind of thing that Paul is talking about when he is talking about using our freedom to give opportunity to the flesh. Paul was saying Christ did not set you free to do these things. In fact, as Paul points out in verse 17, these are not the things that the new you in Christ even wants to do. So what does the new you in Christ want to do? And what does the freedom that you have in Christ set you free to do? At the top of the list is love. What is this love? Well, it's the opposite of the enmity, strife, jealousy, envy, and biting and devouring that Paul talks about in this passage. It is a love that forgives, encourages, builds up, blesses, and serves others. God willing, we'll be speaking much more about this love, as well as the other fruit of the Spirit in the coming weeks. But for now, let me just touch on the connection between freedom and love. The connection between freedom and love. When we are set free from works of the law as the basis of salvation, then we are essentially set free from the old self. The old self-righteous self. The old self that wants to justify itself, comparing itself to others, pointing out how good it is when contrasted to this or that other person relative to this or that topic. The old self-righteous self is portrayed by the Pharisee at the temple in Jesus' parable. The Pharisee who prayed to himself, the text says, he prayed to himself, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, and adulterers. I thank you especially that I'm not like this guy over here, this notorious sinner, this tax collector. I fast. I tithe. I'm just more spiritual when it comes right down to it. I'm just better than he is. Thank you, God, that that is the case." That is the old self-righteous self, whom Jesus said is not justified before God. Jesus came to set you and me free from that person. Or to put it another way, Jesus came to set us free from that prison. The prison of the self-focused self. He came to unite himself to us and us to himself through faith. And when that happens, we are free. We are free from having to justify ourselves. So rather than focusing on self, we can begin to focus on Christ and his love. His amazing, sacrificial, emancipating love. The love that washed the disciples' feet. The love that bled on the cross for our sins. And over time, as we trust in him, and as we fellowship with him, and worship him, his love for others becomes our love for others. The self-righteous self is replaced by the Christ-righteousness self. The self-focused self is replaced by the self-forgetful self. The self-exalting self is replaced by the other's encouraging self. The self-serving self is replaced by the other's serving self. Jesus sets us free from who we were apart from Him to be who we are as new creations in Him. He sets us free from comparing ourselves to others, trying to control them, manipulate them, use them, criticize them, hold grudges against them, belittle them, bite and devour them. He sets us free to love them as He loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.